So I'm going to tell you a joke today, if that's okay. It's kind of a joke, I guess. I was at the Supernatural Science Conference. Tom Horn was there, Derek Gilbert and Sharon Gilbert from PID Radio, and a number of others were speaking, and it was time for Sharon Gilbert to get up and speak. She's co-host with Derek on PID Radio and an author, and it was a great... And listen, after she tells... what I guess is a joke, Tom Horn said that he had planned to tell that. So listen, I'm doing it based on memory. I'm sure it's out there on the web somewhere, but I didn't look it up. Sharon gets up to tell about how scientists are challenging God, that they're able to do anything. They're able to do anything he can do. And so there's a meeting between God and the scientists, and there's a discussion about, well, they can replicate, they can do, you know, all these different things with science, and they tell God that they're able now to create. And so God says, okay, and they pick a day to have a test. The scientist shows up, and God shows up, and God simply creates, and there are all these worlds and everything, it's there. And then the scientists look up at God and say, okay, it's our turn. Give us some of that dirt. And God said, get your own dirt. Now, I don't know if that's funny to you or not, but I don't know if you see the quest. There is a tremendous quest in science, transhumanism. And I want you to understand that in the sciences, just like in Nazi Germany, there can be spiritual revelation that guides scientific ideologies and beliefs. Because right now, the remote viewers and New Agers and theoretical physicists and many others, they're pulling in pantheistic concept and New Age spiritual concept into quantum theory and many other things. Now, why do I bring all this up? Because I think it's vital that we open the discussion right now by saying that science is in comparison to the physics of the infinite, God. Science is so vastly limited in comparison. Like a child playing in a sandbox next to the construction workers building a 40-story downtown grand building. It is amazing to me that we can, well, in the words of Stephen Hawking, in the book, The Grand Design, I am amazed that he even brings such a concept up. The concept is, again, you know, asking all the questions about existence and everything else. And his big question is, did the universe need a creator? In other words, again, the concept of the laws of physics and the M theory that he brings out in the book, that there is a spontaneous creation. Once again, the concept of the absence of God. Now, you're dealing with a writer, and I read a lot of books too. Gosh, in front of me right now, you know what I've got? Right in front of me, the books that came in the mail yesterday and today. And then five books that have been downloaded onto the Kindle in my laptop. And one book in audio, Francis Schaeffer's He Is There and He Is Not Silent, I now have downloaded today on audio because I want to just listen to it read. I think it's a fantastic book. I wish that I could send to Stephen Hawking this book. But the books in front of me, listen to some of the crazy stuff I get into and read, okay? It's just crazy. The one book, Brainwashed for War, Programmed to Kill by Matthias Chang. Yeah, once again, looking into the MKUltra and all the rest, but I want to take a look at what he has to say. The other book, The Elevation of Humanity, which deals with the ultimate end of transhumanism and the Luciferic concept of the evolution, homo lumos, homo deity. Another book by Williams called Bug Out. What if there's a collapse of everything? You know, how do you respond? How do you live? Well, the next book is newer. It's by Sample, the last name. It's called Massive, the missing particle that sparked the greatest hunt in science. Yeah, that's right, the super collider. And, you know, I'm reading this and I'm seeing more and more, at least in his view, that the scientist hated the concept of the God particle. They just want to find the particle that was before the particle that was before the particle. They're going a step back and another step back, and they're dealing with the material universe. And I believe that science can continue to study, continue to, you know, grope after everything and inquire. Nothing wrong with that at all. Billions of dollars, thousands of scientists, and CERN has not yet pulled in the finger of God, snipped off a piece, and dissected it in the Atlas detector. Well, I don't think they will, because, again, as I read individuals, as I'm reading Stephen Hawking, brilliant man, but does not have God in the equation of his thinking. Let me say it again. Brilliant man. And I have deep compassion and deep love for him, especially in his condition. But I read the book as dry. It's like reading. To me, a lot of science, a lot of things that we read, I read anyway. I'm just sharing my experience. See, I read the Word of God. I read the Bible. And there's massive interaction with my friend, my king, my God, the one that I'm going to see face to face, the one that I know and have walked with for, 35 years now. Now, that's the experience, and I'm going to talk about experiencers here in a few moments. But as we open this up right now to the scientists that are looking into the M theory, quantum physics and theory, and on and on and on, nothing wrong with inquiry. But watch out that as much as you know, the need to confess, there's a whole lot more that you don't know. And without God in the equation, see, when I would study quantum theory, the M theory, when I look at atoms and I look at all of it, I try to read all of it. But I do it interactively. The Spirit of God inside, the living presence of Jesus, the sense of total meaning inside, the love of God, and what God is all about in the world in redemption. See, that's the equation as an experiencer of God. And does that leave out reason? Absolutely not. Does that leave out? Listen, not one of us can claim omniscience, that we know it all. But I think it's vital to hear these words. You and I will never know God infinitely, exhaustively, like Francis Schaeffer, the great philosopher theologian, said. But we can know God truly, and I do, and many of you do, as I read some of these books, including the new book, The Grand Design, glorifying the laws of nature. And as Stephen Hawking declares that we become the lords of creation. And see, when I read that, and I'm going to quote it right out of his book, quote, although we are puny and insignificant on the scale of the cosmos, this makes us, in a sense, the lords of creation. In other words, the inquiry that Stephen Hawking brings to looking at, as he says here, quote, to understand the universe at the deepest level, we need to know. Yeah, we need to know. Not only how the universe behaves, but why. Now, I want to say that I see a deep, insatiable passion in Stephen Hawking, many other scientists and inquirers, when he says we need to know not only how, but why. As if that then, as he says in the quote right above this, this makes us, in a sense, the lords of creation. He goes on to say, quote, why is there something rather than nothing? Good question. Why do we exist? Very good question. I'm not sure the laws of nature, quantum theory, or the M theory will answer that. As a matter of fact, I'm very sure that it won't. And then he goes on to say, why this particular set of laws and not some other? This, I'm quoting now Stephen Hawking, this is the ultimate question of life. The universe and everything. There we go. The ultimate question of life, the universe and everything. We shall attempt to answer this in the book. And that's the goal of the book, The Grand Design. Now, listen, my dear friends, all of you listening there in Nevada, all of you listening by satellite, all of you listening by internet, welcome, because you and I have an interaction. Many thousands of you are believers in Christ. The presence of the living Christ is inside. My prayers for you that God would just by grace minister to you, because, you know, we have the right to come boldly before the throne of grace. We don't have to wait on somebody to describe to us the laws of the universe. We don't have to have somebody tell us how the M theory works in order to have interaction with and incredible fellowship with and the sense of the depth of significance in approaching the throne of grace. When God boldly says, come, you know, he calls us to come. Literally, the word means with great confidence, unfettered speech, boldness to the throne of grace that we can receive. Here's the interaction. We can receive mercy. We can receive grace in our time of need. Listen, may God bless you. May God stretch out his hand. I would pray it during this supernatural divine appointment of an hour that God will save. Highest activity in human existence, that God will stretch out his hand to heal, deliver, crush the dark side, grant the wisdom that God brings. After all, God does say, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Now, he goes on to say that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. I give that to the infinite God. As a finite individual that has sinned, I know my physical body is wearing out. How about yours? I know that along this path, all kinds of things can occur. Listen, the terrorists or whatever are threatening again. They're going to put cyanide and some other stuff in the food chain. They're going to show up and start putting it into the when you go out to the buffet, you know, they're going to put it in the salad. You know, we live in a world where there's a radical evil. Does the laws of nature, does the M theory, does quantum physics have an answer? Does it give us any victory? So as an experiencer of God, of Christ, of the Spirit of God, just like the writers Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah, see, 2,700 years ago, in a moment of time, Isaiah knew the Lord. He walked with the Lord. In Isaiah 6, he had a vision, an interaction, Yahweh Adonai, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who is, was, and is to come. Listen, Yahweh Adonai, this interaction, the cleansing that he knew that he needed in comparison to infinite, pure, sinless holiness, as John writes many, many years later, about God and his nature, that in him there is no darkness. Greek would say, in the Greek it would say, in him there is no darkness. No, absolutely not at all. There is no duality in the nature and the being of God. Evil is on the outside, and it's around us. You and I, we've experienced it. We've sinned. God hasn't. Christ hasn't. There's a difference. And it goes beyond the M theory. It goes beyond quantum physics. That's not the cutting-edge stuff. You know what the cutting-edge stuff is? The physics of the infinite. Grand design. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is the Shatter the Darkness live radio broadcast, and we're going to say welcome to hundreds and thousands of you that will download, sometimes across the board in up to 80 countries of the world. Dobre utra, you know, that's the Russian, good morning. Привет, hello. Ni hao, I'm going to try to learn. I can't help but to tell you today, I love humanity. I don't love the sin. I don't love the pride. I don't love the pain. I don't love the stuff that we do as sinners. That's why we do it. That's what it's all about. In Stephen Hawking's book, humanity, in his quest and inquiry of the laws of nature, the physics, and so forth, it's brought down that we just do kind of like a scientific, a biological determinism. We just do what the impulses are. There's no free will. And to that I say, what a bunch of bunk. I don't think it's biological determinism that just sparks in a brain and causes the molecule, you know, everything to move inside of us and write a book called The Grand Design. I think those are the outward observable things that are operative while we with the constitution of what we are, body, soul, and spirit. The cardia in the Greek, the heart, the center of our being, will. It's obviously you didn't have to be here. You didn't have to be here tonight, and I didn't have to speak tonight. Now I will say that there is a compelling, and it is the love of God. It is the love of this incredible Christ. And this, well, as we said yesterday, we said in arche, hein halagos, kai halagos, hein pros ton theon kai, theos hein halagos. In beginning was logos. See the word was in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the imperfect, the idea there was no originating point, the logos has always been. In the beginning was the already and always existing logos. And the logos was, has always been, and there was no beginning of this, always was with pros, face to face, in perfect fellowship with God. And the logos was, is, has always been God. Now the physics of God, this revelation that God gives of himself, involves chapter 1 in John's Gospel, where the Logos, eternal, immortal, infinite, no beginning, becomes human flesh. And to me, especially as an experiencer, the Logos it speaks about, I know. The Logos it speaks about, I experience. And we'll see, as many of you believers will, face to face. Now that's the assurance that not only the outside objective living word of God gives, but the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And if a human being does not have the Spirit of God indwelling them, Romans 8, you are none of his. There is a difference. Either God dwells within and that our spirit is reconnected and we know God through Jesus. Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, if you don't believe that, what do you believe? And how is that working for you? That's part of what I think we need to, you know, discuss. Not that we are the lords of creation. I think that is an evidence of a vast limitation of the experience of, the knowledge of, the belief in, the infinite nature of God. Please understand, infinite. God is infinite, immeasurable. You cannot measure God. If you took a backpack and filled it and jumped into walking into the very being of God, if that was possible, like hiking into the mountains, like Mount Everest, the difference would be you would never come out. There's no other side. You would never reach the end. You'd never reach the top. Do you understand? God, infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, omnirelational. So as you're listening right now, the God that we're talking about, God wants you, desires you, loves you as an experiencer and a believer of the Lord Jesus. The Logos, the eternal, immortal, infinite, immeasurable God who became flesh. Now, this is about the physics of God. How do you do that? How do you go from infinite and then come into by the causing of conception? This is the concept of the genetics of the incarnation and that little baby that everybody was thrilled with. I mean, the angels sang, the shepherds came, everybody came around, the wise men still sought him. The star was there. This is incomparable, unprecedented, even with all kinds of counterfeit that have come since. You know, the cheap cubic zirconium spirituality that's been presented, and even the one to come, Antichrist. Antichrist is no infinite being, finite, powerful being, always wanting to copy what God has done. Now, when I say the physics of God, I'm talking about the operating presence, the work of God. It comes from the Greek word work. Jesus said to those that believe in him, we would do the works that he did. He came to do the works of the Father. In Ephesians chapter 2, you and I as believers, we have been created in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Erge. Now, in the context of biblical revelation, you could take that over to the book of Philippians where it talks about how God is at work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Not biological determinism, not some kind of neurological laws of science, and we operate like some robot, some machine, some autotron. God is at work in you to will and to act. Even God does not supersede the human will that he created. But oh, the awesome beauty of his influence and our allowability of stepping in to the will of God, to walking with God, to doing the will of God. In Romans 12, the will of God is called perfect and pleasing. It has the idea of emotional pleasure and joy. It's good, it's pleasing, and it's also perfect. Now, I don't know if you can find a better way than infinite God, infinite in goodness, infinite in redemption, creator, designer. Listen, all the things that God has revealed about himself, that God is. I don't have to reduce God to the current learning of even the top physicists and scientists of the world. As if we must reduce the revelation of God to the scratchings of humanity. I kind of like what Stephen Hawking confesses in the book The Grand Design. I quote this again. Although we are puny and insignificant on the scale of the cosmos. Now, notice how, again, as I'm stating this in my I'm only giving you an observation. I observed by reading the book, by looking at documentaries and other video, that Stephen Hawking doesn't, on an experiential level, know God. I don't know if that's 100% true, but on what I'm looking at, it almost all tells me that he doesn't. And if by God's providence, that does supersede, go beyond, and bend, God can do anything concerning the laws of nature, the physics. He can do anything concerning any of it. They serve him. He does not serve them. This is why when we see Jesus commanding the winds and the waves to stop, he had authority over creation. Creation, being sentient, responds to him. Creation, in the depth of creation, on an atomic level, subatomic level, I don't know which, Romans 8 says that creation knows, K-N-O-W, that it knows. This means that somehow it has an awareness that it's decaying. Because of the sin issue, because of the Satan issue, because of the toxic effects of the fall. But it's also waiting, groaning. That's a human word of pain, of crying out without actual language, of emotional longing for the ultimate hope. Even creation groans as it waits for the ultimate redemption, a new heaven and a new earth. Creation knows about the coming glorification. That will occur by the exerted immaterial exertion of the immaterial presence. I mean, God, from his side of the fence, if I can put it that way, since no one in quantum theory, no one in any level of science that I've read, and I'm not a brilliant scientist, but I can read, no one is scratched. Nobody's gone up to the door and opened it and walked over onto God's side and said, ah, surprise! Nobody on a human level has rung God's doorbell. It's not within our human ability. Like I've said on the front of the website, shatterthedarkness.net, in dealing with the series this week, The Physics of the Infinite, Grand Design, I go on to say this, and I think it's important for us to hear this. No angel can do this because they're all finite. As powerful as they are, Michael, the archangel, and the elect, even they learn. Even they are surprised. Even they know with their vast power, well, they can't tread. You ever do this in the snow when you were a kid? You know, your dad goes out walking in front of you, or your mom goes out walking in front of you, and then you try to walk in those footsteps. It can happen one or two. I mean, if you're 5 years old and they're walking and, you know, they're in their 30s and your legs aren't as big. And when you step out to go into the first little hole they created by their feet and then move yourself forward to go into the second, you realize that the expanse of their walk is beyond yours and you can't keep up. This is what I'm talking about. No angel can do this. No angel has the ability to go up and ring the doorbell of God, open it on their own, step into infinity. When I say infinity, I don't mean infinite space, infinity what? I don't believe in nothingness. Before creation was, there was nothing. A deafening nothing. How do we know that? What is nothing? Dark matter? What is nothing? I always thought nothing was nothing. No, before the beginning, God, Logos, the reason, the intelligence, the presence behind the totality of creation. See, I read again Stephen Hawking in the book, although we are puny and insignificant on the scale of the cosmos. Now, he does, you know what he's doing? He's comparing us, human beings, puny human beings, in comparison to the cosmos. And that's true also. Who of us can jump from here to the moon? I'm talking physically. Remote viewers, if you're listening, you know, or astral projection. I'm not talking on that scale. I'm saying who of us can go to a 40-story building and jump off and live? So Stephen is clear in his concept of the laws of life and nature that we are puny in comparison to the planets, to the galaxies. to the universe, if there are hundreds of millions of galaxies and billions of planets, wow, it's vast. Vast. And in our search outwardly, in our search looking in the area of quantum and particles and the search for the God particle? Actually, it's the search for the particle that they believe before the singularity of the Big Bang, the beginning. And I think it's, again, because the equation of God, immaterial as far as this material existence, who did create, it was by speaking. An exertion, an instantaneous appearance. Not a spontaneous creation out of nothing with no rhyme, reason, and then boop, here we are. But instead, a very, very clear. And for New Agers out there, the idea of intention. This goes so far beyond the concept of New Age spirituality's intention. God had intent. We're talking, if you really do understand, if you're going to, you know, bring God into the equation, bring God into the equation, infinite God, immeasurable God, omniscient, omnipresent, personal God, bring all of it in. No angels can look there. Man can't discover it on his own. Now, we've read this in 1 Corinthians 2 before. It didn't originate in the concept of the mind of man, even in our inquiry. We're allowed to. I don't care if it's philosophy, you know, at the local bar as people talk and philosophize, or philosophers, you know, burning out their brains to where some of them become, Nietzschean. Have you ever, as a scientist, if you're listening, as a physicist that doesn't know God, have you ever felt the power, the presence, the love of God? There are physics to the infinite. There's grand design. At the cross, this is a screaming message. It really is. Because you have to go back and ask the reasons why. If you're going to ask questions about the universe, you know, why is there something rather than nothing? Why do we exist? Why the cross? Why the Bible? Why the concept of sin, heaven, hell, life, living and then dying and physically rotting? Laws of physics would say, that's it. Zip, boop, you're out of here. Why do we put him, you know, why $5,000, $7,000 for a casket and burial and... If all we are is a few dollars worth of material, just put it in a sack. There's something more. And I'm not sure that, I'm gaining confidence in saying, while I read Stephen Hawking, who my perspective, as a human being that experiences and knows and walks with God for 35 years and knows the love of God, and understands significance, the questions for 35 years, I don't seek them. They're solved in my heart. I have someone I can go to and talk with. It's not just my brain going around in circles, reading the next scientist and jawing with the other physicists and going on talking and talking and talking in a closed room with no doors. You see, to me, that is sad. You know, all the physicists and all the scientists and all the philosophers and all those that have expelled God from the equation of their thinking. And I'm talking the infinite God and the physics of God and the grand design of God, all of what we're talking about. Now, that's all pushed out of the closed universe, the room with no doors and no windows, where the scientists, physicists, philosophers, and others that don't believe any of this stuff that I believe in, but they believe in quantum theory. They believe in the M theory. They believe in the laws of nature. And as their bodies are getting older and older and older, and they talk and they talk and they talk and they talk and they talk, focusing on looking for the reasons why. And like all other philosophers and scientists for thousands of years, not coming to a conclusion. Trying to come up with coping, kind of like a science of a coping mechanism. We are here just to live. We are here for a moment in time. We are here to share with humanity. Is that it? Fat Lady sings, we're out of here. God still says to the scientists, to the philosophers, to the physicists, to the inquirers that don't know him, where's your dirt? Where's your dirt? Out of no pre-existent material, God created. In beginning, remember as we said, 1 John 1, in Archi, Hain Halagos, in beginning, was already existing the reason for all that is now here. And the reason behind the structure of material universe, its beginning, has now shown up, got into human flesh with us. That is significant. If you don't believe it, just take a moment and say, it is true. Think of the implications. The infinite designer, the one behind all of creation, and by his power upholds it, and by his power will bring a new heaven and a new earth. Let me tell you something. Even if you're not believing that, even if you were Stephen Hawking and you don't believe that yet, or Richard Dawkins and you oppose that, even if that's who you are, stop for a moment and role play a little bit. Be a believer. Okay, there's an infinite, awesome, immeasurable God that in beginning, whenever for sure that occurred, that explosion, that bang, that boom, here it is, was, in the imperfect now in the Greek, already and has already begin, you know, been, with no beginning and no ending, was the Logos. Do you understand the term logos, even in the classical, even in the Koine, in the concept of what, how it was used as word, reason, speech? It's this concept in creation that where the spoken word out of, not ex nihilo, ex theos, out of God. Theologians out there, it's out of God comes all of creation. Now, you're gonna really wonder about something today, okay? Because as I go over some of the stuff that Stephen Hawking and just looking at all the things, you know, he goes into and talks about here, I'm interested in something. What he says concerning, again, material existence and being the grand inquirer, wanting to know why, not just how it all works, but why. And going back, like with CERN, all the way back to before the beginning. And this is why I'm going to say again, if you don't have the equation in the billions of dollars and the thousands of scientists and in the power of CERN, what it's going to be ultimately used for, will it be weaponized? I think there's a broader use than just that alone. That's what I think. Not billions of dollars, just like Sample says in his book, Massive. It's the most massive endeavor in human history to not only understand the universe, how it got here, but what's behind the door of that twinkling of an eye when it all came to be. It's clear that it seems that scientists and everybody go back saying, well, the universe is not eternal. It hasn't always existed. It's not really infinite either in the sense of God infinite. It had a beginning. So there's no question about the issue of having a beginning. The issue is getting to that door of that twilight, that twinkling of the eye, rather, and being able to open that door and walk to the other side. On the other side, there's no material universe. And when we talk about other multi-universes, as Stephen Hawking and others do today, no question about realms, dimension, and yet then different substance. Don't make all the other realms. In my father's house are many mansions, Greek word realms. So there are things we have not seen. In order to get to that realm, the mortal has to put on immortality. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the basileia of God, the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot get on that side, cannot experience that side any more than if you're a human being and you wanted to be shipped out into space, jump out of your space capsule, and personally land on the sun. You're going to melt. You're going to sizzle. You're going to disappear. You can't. Your construct can't handle it. You can't drop from a 40 floor building, with no coat on, no shoes, and just jump. We are puny. Stephen Hawking, you're right. Humanity, in the sense we're puny, we're frail. Have a truck strike a child. Guess who wins? Our bodies are frail. And then what? See, all this grand design doesn't answer the question of death, disease, and what happens afterwards. So if the scientists and the physicists and CERN scientists from all over the world, if they get to the door, and I think they feel they've gotten to the, you know, as far as they can, as far as particles and what's out there, but what's beyond the particles? What's beyond the door? If you open the door, is it this brilliant face of Almighty God smiling? And there we then have the concept of the locality of God, because God is infinite. He's not stretched from one side of the universe to the other. The universe, so vast and so big, probably on a human scale, we don't have the ability to literally go to the ends of the universe. What's outside? Well, again, the existence of God. In the book of Colossians, when it talks about Christ being the creator of all things and sustainer of that which is visible and invisible. The realms around us, invisible. Most of us have not had an angel actually materialize in front of us and converse with us. I have no question, as an experiencer of God, I will see the angels and that they've been around. I have no question about the demons. I've engaged them in people. Spiritual warfare is real. The presence and the power and the life and the love, the authority and the protection and the concept of the blood of Christ and what it's all about, all real and absolutely necessary. That's right. But I want to go back to this quick concept out of John's Gospel, making an appeal, if I may. Maybe I'm speaking into the air. But there are many Stephen Hawking types. that may eventually have this sent to them because somebody else listened and they thought maybe they should listen. And if you're someone that loves to read a lot, I would only ask you to consider reading a book called He Is There and He Is Not Silent. You know, $8 or so, you can download it into your Kindle, into your, you know, whatever you use, or get a copy for $4. So I'm asking you to consider not locking yourself into a closed room with no doors, no windows, and scratching at the corners, discussing how the whole building is, and doing this, you know, please, from my perspective, it is sad and it is insane. That's right, insane. Closed universe. Let's say, first of all, yes, there's a real God. He's God is infinite. God is, and all the rest that biblical revelation says. And me as an experiencer, that God is good, there's joy, there's life, and I confess I will live forever and I will see God. Confident of that. He conquered death. We understand the reason of death. Maybe not the physics. Oh, well, our body ceases. The brain activity stops. In the old movie Beyond and Back, you know, they did even this study on the weight, that some level of some percentage, the moment of death, there's some level of loss of weight. What's that all about? The human spirit, you know, leaves the body. Can any science nail this down? And if science can't nail it down, does that mean it doesn't exist? If science can't nail it down, does it mean it doesn't exist? See, when I think in terms of God's miracle, God's way, God's work, as I said earlier, that's the physics of God. Erge, the physics, the works. There's physics behind all of it. But please understand that there is no science, as of today, that is able to peer into all of it. There's no infinite science. There's no infinite human being. To understand, listen, to really know God on an infinite scale, you would have to have an infinite mind. Stephen Hawking does not. Aristotle did not. Plato did not. Theologians don't. That's why in the equation of the grand, you know, inquiring and using our reason and using our ability to study and look into things, that's why we needed revelation. The Spirit knows the deep things of God, the infinite things. Infinite Spirit of God knows infinite God and reveals. You ever read it? Have you ever read the words? I'm going to get them for you and read you them in just a moment here. But I think the big difference is whether a person is going to equate, if you're in that closed universe, no doors, no way to get out. You can keep pounding on the walls, scratching at the walls. You can build machines to try to penetrate the walls. That's what CERN is all about, penetrating the wall. The material existence, the particles, the things that we've got in our hands, we want to go beyond that. Okay. I can go on my front porch and jump off and land and have no problem. But I can't go to a 40-story building and jump off. If you do not understand your limitations, you may have an insatiable desire to be in that closed universe with no windows, no doors, no way out, and you don't even know how you got in there. How did you get in there? And there you are. I think, therefore, I am, right? And there you are, dwelling there, living there, in the room, the closed universe. Because outside the universe, there's no God, there's nothing there. Haven't we heard this before? I'm not sure that a physicist, a scientist, a philosopher can deeply appreciate, even if we... Now, I ask you if you would think in terms of, okay, even if you don't believe in God, infinite God, the physics of the infinite God, the grand design of God, the personal nature of God, just for a moment, step back and say, okay, it's true. And see if that then bridges the gap between the level of your reason and what's beyond it. If you are going to say, and I'm going to join you for a second, okay, there's no God, there's nothing outside the universe, physical universe, the laws of nature, the M theory, the quantum, you know, physics, and everything else, here we are, closed universe, and we're in the room. And we're in a room with no doors and no windows. We don't know how to get out. We can't see a way out. There's no doors, no windows, so there must be no way out. So we can study every inch of the room. We can go over the color of the paint. We can scratch on it. We can look at the floor. We can talk. We can go around and around and around. And we can also then have to come up with a reason. How did we get in there in the first place? And in the context of that, as we get older and older and older and older and older, then we're going to die. Do we just die in the room? We die in the room. We die in the room. We rot in the room. Other babies are born in the room. They come. They do the same thing. They're beating on the walls for a door, for something more. That's what human experience is all about. Something more. There's got to be something out there. There's got to be something more than the four walls. No doors, no windows. Where we drop over at some point and die and rot. And if Stephen Hawking is going to put out the question, why is there something rather than nothing? Why do we exist? Well, in the book, I don't find any answer. I find that the arguments, that the postulation, that the reasoning, that the positions, be it quantum theory, be it what the M theory, listen, if the bottom line, you're in a closed room, no windows and no doors, and you're not really sure where the room came from or where you came from, what is it all about? What is it all about? I think truly that's why some people do go insane and jump off those buildings. We got a bridge here. People experience the closed universe. There's, God's not in their life. Nothing's in their life. I've done profiles of teenagers that put a noose around their neck and they hung themselves and they died. And I had to do the funeral and speak to the other kids. The profile is why. Why did the kid do? Everybody asks why. The parents ask the little brother that found his brother hanging on the noose, why did my brother do this? Because in his life, maybe in your life, it's a closed universe. No doors, no windows, no more drugs to take just to escape by feeling. Because you wake up and there's no doors and there's no windows. Life goes on. Everybody steps on everybody. More people are in the room. All kind of bad things go on in the room. And almost all of us experience that nobody cares for us. At least at some point in our lives, we feel that way at times. Why is there something rather than nothing, Stephen Hawking? Why do we exist? And the answers to that question, well, they're significant. And I'm going to ask you if you found the answer. Have you found the answer? Are you living in the closed room? Will you die in the closed room? Will you say, just because you can't figure it out, read Stephen Hawking or someone else, or plunge with your billions of dollars into transhumanism, into AI, maybe somehow you can get out of the body, but still in the closed room, you can get into a computer. You can go around all the World Wide Web. Maybe you can get on Facebook that way. By the way, listen, I got onto Facebook over the weekend. I've never done this before, and I'm finding it pretty fun. I'm only going to spend, 10, 20, 30 minutes maybe per day, but that's pretty vast. Facebook with 500 million members, this is big, but it's not infinite. It's fun, but it's not ultimate. Questions? Does Stephen Hawking really believe that we're the lords of creation? That that's all there really is? And that the M-theory and quantum physics are going to satisfy us when all we have is a room with no windows or doors? Maybe we can put a potted plant in the corner and make it look good. Maybe we can paint it a certain color, Tuscan looking, and feel warm. And yet the quest, as Francis Schaeffer, the great theologian philosopher, said, a term he came up with, the mannishness of man. That part of every human being, whether in the southern parts of Africa, whether in the great ivory towers of universities world over. I want to be loved. I want significance. I don't want any pain. And I'm very, 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 very sure that the concept of a closed universe, no doors, no windows, no hope, no way out, and you don't know how you got in there, is not going to be the answer. I am absolutely sure the answer is much broader than that. We live in a material universe that is inseparably connected by the hand of God, the presence of God. Transcendent, yes, He is, right here in my life, as I speak to you. His joy, His presence, His love. Undeniable. You can't talk me out of it. I'm sorry. I enjoy knowing God. I didn't always know God. And if you don't know Him, here's the answer. God sent, has come here. Logos, the reason for all that exists, that which is behind the material universe, has come into human flesh. You read it, Gospel of John, chapter 1. If you're not willing to read the Gospel of John, chapter 1, or maybe more chapters, then maybe you're going to just be stuck in that little dead, dry, closed room. And then you die. And then what? Jesus Christ, in an incredible invitation, John's Gospel, chapter 7, says, and this is now Logos, that which is beyond the material universe came into human flesh. The incarnation. Now he speaks in John's gospel. There's a big religious meeting. You know, there's all kinds of religious junk, all kinds of spirituality that doesn't lead to God out there. It's counterfeit. It comes from the dark side, and it's ramping up. You know this. But instead, Jesus, Logos in human flesh, speaks John's gospel, chapter 7. I tell you the truth. If anyone believes in me, as the scripture has said, as the revelation has said, out of their inmost being would flow this is the physics of God, the power of the Holy Spirit coming into your life. God coming into your life, my friend. Listen, I hear the music. We're at the end of the hour. I pray that you know Jesus. God's blessing to you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Hey, remember us in your prayers, and for those who can, remember us in support. Good night.